Today we're going to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 12 through 20. So listen to these words. But if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. More than that, we are found to be false witnesses about God. For we have testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead. But he did not raise him if in fact the dead are not raised. For the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then those who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. But Christ has indeed been risen from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. When I talk to you about sharing the gospel with people, oftentimes as people share the gospel, there is one piece that people don't often talk about. We talk about Christ coming from heaven down to earth and teaching and preaching and miracles and healing and all that he did. We talk about him dying on the cross for our sins. And we talk about him in the grave. But as I hear people talk, they often tell people, you need to come to the cross. Please don't ever stop the gospel there. The gospel continues on to Sunday morning. He is risen. Amen. Thank you, Guy. Let's try again. Do you guys know the response? He is risen. Yeah, very good, non-Baptist. I know we don't traditionally do that as Baptists, but Christ is risen. And it's not just in a spirit, it's bodily. And that makes a difference. That makes a big difference for us. So when I hear people share the gospel, they talk about you need to come to the cross and realize what Christ has done for you. You are redeemed. Your sins have been paid for. But the empty tomb is just as important. Because it shows me two things. God has victory over death. And it also shows me that we, as Christ was, will be bodily resurrected. Now, I don't know how that's going to happen, and I have lots of questions about it. Because I know all of us dream that we won't have a bum knee anymore. Amen? All of us dream that we won't have arthritis anymore. But I know that Christ was resurrected with his wounds so that they could notice him and know who he was. So I really don't know what our bodily resurrection will be like. But not only in Paul's day, but also in ours, some people do not believe in the bodily resurrection of Christ. You see, in Paul's day, the Sadducees, maybe you've heard about the Pharisees, the Sadducees was another religious group. And the Sadducees did not believe in angels and did not believe in resurrection after death. They didn't believe in either one. The Essenes, who were also out in the desert around the Dead Sea, did not believe in bodily resurrection. And there are people today that still do not believe in the bodily resurrection of Christ. It happened. His body was not stolen. as the soldiers were paid off to tell people happened. They didn't forget where they had buried him and the women went to the wrong tomb. That's not what happened. The gardener didn't take his body and place it somewhere else, as Mary thought Jesus was the gardener when she was looking for his body. He was bodily resurrected in a body that they could recognize, but a body that was different. Because it says that they were in a locked room and Jesus appeared in that room. It says that he ate with them, bodily resurrected. It said that, what did he tell Thomas? Put your fingers here. And Thomas, I don't need to. Bodily resurrected. Jesus walked here upon this earth. And the passage right before this in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul talks about the great numbers of people that saw him bodily resurrected and who he came to. And he even appeared to Paul on the road to Damascus. But you see, there are some people that believe we'll be resurrected in the spirit or the soul. We'll be resurrected in our bodies. Now, how all that happens, when that happens, how it goes on, I can tell you what I think, and I can tell you some of the scriptures that help lead me to those places. But you know what I know? I know that I don't have to figure it all out. God's going to take care of it. I'm not in charge of you being resurrected. Amen? God's in charge of that. And how God does that is how it happens. And also when it happens. Now, this is a key point that Paul preached in his ministry. Throughout his ministry, he preached again and again and again about the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ. I think about the story. Paul wasn't there for this story, but I'm sure he heard it. I think about the story where Peter said, you know what? He's gone. I don't know what to do anymore. Let's go fishing. That's always a wonderful idea, isn't it? Let's say, I got some people shaking their heads no. Let's go fish. I love to go fishing. I haven't in decades, but I love to go fishing. And I lived my young life fishing all the time. All the time. I'd ask Mom, how much longer? I grew up on a lake. How much longer till supper? And she says, 20 minutes. I said, I'll be right back. Went down to the lake and made about 3 casts and brought back a bass like this. It's just wonderful. And Peter decided to do that because that's what he knew how to do. And he wasn't sure about this resurrection thing. He didn't know. But what happened that day? The boat was coming in, and they had caught nothing. Who's on the seashore already? Cooking their breakfast for them? Jesus. And he ate with them that morning. Incredible. And Paul talks about some of these stories in the passage right before this. But it's a key thing that he talks again and again as he shares the gospel about the bodily resurrection of Christ. And then Paul goes on to say in this passage, Paul says, if it was not true that Jesus raised bodily, then he's a false witness. And that everything he has shared with people is for naught. Paul says, if this is not true, If he did not raise from the dead, and if he did not raise bodily, I have been going everywhere I can think of and preaching this, then I'm a false witness. And Paul's basically saying, then you shouldn't believe me because I'm wrong. And he goes even one step further. He says, without a risen Christ, our faith is useless and we are still lost. Not only is he a false witness, but our faith is useless and we're still lost. Because then that would mean that God does not have victory over death. And that we would die and that would be the end of it, as some people even today believe. It's this life that we live. And we find the fullest way to live this life because there is no other. And there are some people that believe that. There were in Paul's day and there is in our day. So they're trying to grab the most they can and get everything they can while they can. But what does Paul say? Christ was risen. You also will be risen. That's incredible, isn't it? Bodily resurrection. Now, at this point, some people would ask me, is there a proper way to bury a body so that God can resurrect it? Here's what I'm going to tell you. God is able to do the impossible. And no matter how we are buried, God can put us back together. I believe that firmly. And I say that because a lot of people come to me and ask me about cremation. God can put us back together. It is possible. And God will for those who believe. But if Christ was not bodily resurrected, then it's all for naught. You too will be bodily resurrected. Think about that. I mean, the scripture, I think, indicates that I will know other people when I get to heaven. I think it will be by their body, number one. I think it also will be by the way they act, by their mannerisms, by the way they talk, and the things that they say, and the words that they use. Because I would imagine you've listened to me enough now that if I call you on the phone, you know exactly who I am. I don't have to tell you. And you haven't seen me. But you know who I am because you know my voice and my countenance and the way I talk. But bodily resurrection. And you know what else I know about when we get to heaven? It says there's fruit trees that are made for food. I can't wait to see those trees because it says every month of the year they produce a different fruit. Think about that. How incredible is that going to be? To be there in God's presence, to be there and see my Savior face to face. One of the first songs I learned how to sing in a men's group, Face to Face. I will see my Savior. I know I'll probably fall at his feet. And be just like Peter and say how unworthy I am. And Jesus will say, stand up. I love you. And I died for you. And I was resurrected. As what does Paul say in verse 20? But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. That means there's more to come. He's the first fruit. There is more to come. Bodily resurrection will happen for us since Christ is risen. Do you live your life as though Christ is risen? Do you live your life with the excitement of that? I mean, think about it for a minute. To walk to the tomb and find out it's empty. That would be incredible, wouldn't it? That would be incredible. And then to sit and wonder for a while, where is he? How this has happened? How has this gone on? And then to sit in a locked room with everybody else because you're afraid they're coming to get you next. And he appears right there in the room, bodily. Do you ever think about that? And Scripture says right now, as we sung, he's sitting at God's right hand. And at this moment, he's praying for you and for me. He is interceding for us. He is talking to God for us. How incredible is that? That's how much God cares for you. And God sent the Holy Spirit to lead and to guide you and to direct you further down the path. These are things that just the concept of the Trinity overwhelms me. I can explain it in some ways, but some ways I can't. But I know it's true. There's a God the Father who loves me and reaches out to help me. A God the Son who died for me and was resurrected to show victory over death. And God the Holy Spirit, who's within us right now, whispering to us, guiding us, directing us, helping us. And you know what, folks? Paul says this is all for naught if we don't believe in the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ. Listen to what he says. If only for this life, verse 19, if only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. It's not just for this life. But remember what I've talked about before. I think it was last week I talked about marking time. Don't look for that moment that, hey, I just can't wait for that moment to go to heaven and I'm looking, that's all I'm looking at. Pay attention to God wanting to be with you now. Not just for that day that you go home, but now. Because that's part of the eternal kingdom now. What did Jesus say? The kingdom has already come. And that was before his death on the cross and the resurrection. We can live the kingdom now. So I ask you this question. Do you believe in the bodily resurrection of Christ? And your bodily resurrection also? It's both, folks. It is both. Jesus' bodily resurrection and ours. It's not just a spiritual thing or a soul thing. The body will live for all eternity. Yes, and what I hope is a brand new body that works better than this one does some days. And I'm confident that it will. But it still may have some of the wounds visible of our lives. It doesn't say ailments, it says wounds. Okay? Do you believe in the bodily resurrection of Christ? And the same for you. Let us pray. Lord, we come to you because it is true that sometimes we get so caught up in what's going on around us that we don't think deeply about what has already happened and what will happen. Paul says that Christ was the first fruits, meaning that there will be other people bodily resurrected. And Lord, that means those of us who believe. What an incredible thing. That this body that you have breathed life into will live for all eternity. So Lord, help me to live well and close to you. That when I meet you face to face, oh, what a moment that will be to worship you for all eternity and to be in your presence. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.